You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who believes in an eye for an eye, but only if they're lowercase, Pete Chwaba.
Welcome back. On the text line from the 608, we received a text that just read Hot Rod. So I assume that was meant for our guest, Steve Nall, who is the vice president of the Bartell Theater, who is joining us now over the stream. Steve, that might have been a suggestion, maybe for one of your movie nights, the movie Hot Rod with, is that Andy Samberg, Conrad?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay.
Or, hey, we're taking suggestions.
Sure. So there you go. That's one of them. Or he got a new car he's very proud of. Either way, 608, thank you for the text. Tom from New Berlin says, love your bumper, REM. Oh, well, thank you, Tom. Thanks a lot. Our question of the night is, what candy will you give out for Halloween this year? And we'd love to hear your suggestions. We've heard some great ones so far. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Let us know. And we will read your text on the radio. Steve, Madison is such a great theater town. I've been going down there about once a month because I do some work for PBS as well. Sometimes I do this show from Madison. I've discovered so many theaters there. It's probably a very, and maybe it's not an underrated theater town. Maybe it is a very well-known and respected theater town. Either way, is there a lot of competition? Like, you're doing different things, kind of being innovative. Do you have to do that to stay competitive? How do you do that? How do you keep your theater out there?
Yeah. You know, Madison is a very rich theater town. You have Overture, that does, you know, things like Broadway series and like, you know, professional theater company. We're not that far from Spring Green with APT for like classic Shakespeare. We have Broom Street Theater that has been doing, you know, original and experimental theater since the 1960s. I believe it's the oldest experimental theater in the nation. Huh. There's a lot of community theaters going on. And so, yeah, there's competition, but there's also a wealth of creativity. You know, we have a lot of strong actors. We have a lot at the Bartell. We actually do a lot of locally written plays. So, you know, we have the environment to kind of support the arts in that we can do original stuff. And then we can also do, you know, I'm doing a production of the classic Arsenic and Old Lace in March.
Yeah, I saw that. I think I saw that on your website.
So, you know, we can do, you know, the old stuff. We can do the new stuff. You know, because we are community theater, we're not afraid to be edgy. You know, some of the stuff that we do can, you know, you're not going to see in any of the other theaters in town because, you know, we'll go there, you know, Broom Street will. But you're not going to see it at Overture. You know, that's a lot more, you know, for the masses.
Right.
And not knocking them. I go to Overture too. So, but yeah, it's really a neat space. Plus, you know, it's a theater co-op. There's four theaters that interact with each other. There's no other theater co-op in the country. You know, this is a very unique business model that everyone said they'll never be able to sustain it. Theater people are too dramatic. They're going to fight. And we've been doing this for 25 years, and I don't see any reason for it to stop.
One of my favorite things about being in a theater, it's fun to watch, like with the film festival, it's fun to sit there and watch a movie with people in a different space. Like, you could tell that live theater happens there. But when I had to go get the mic, one of the employees at your theater led me sort of downstairs, and wherever we were, I looked and there was another space in there. And I love like a hidden theater within the theater. Like, and I'm like, what goes on in here? And I can't remember exactly what she said, but, and it's also fun just to sit there when it's quiet, when no one is in the theater, and you sit there and you almost hear voices from over the years of decades of performances and stuff. It's just a very great vibe.
Yeah, the theater goes. Yeah. I have to admit, as oftentimes, you know, I will be the first to get to the theater when we have a show. And I sometimes like to get there 10, 15 minutes before schedule time, just to kind of go out on the stage where it's completely quiet and just look out to the empty seats and just kind of, you know, just absorb the theater stuff. And
yeah,
you know, those are the theater ghosts, you know, that's, you know, they're out there. And you never know. Periodically, they may show. I did a ghost play once, and you know, it's very possible that wasn't necessarily a ghost.
You mentioned that you do a lot of community productions. I did see this on the website too, and I don't see this on many theaters on the websites where I go, whether it's Green Bay, Milwaukee, or whatever. I saw a thing for open auditions, mm-hmm. and I didn't know you guys did that. But you have original plays, like you just said. Where can people find out more information about this? Is it an equity situation, or are they amateur actors? Can anyone
anyone can do it? Yes, okay. Yes. We are community theater. It's all volunteer. It's open to everyone, not just the original plays. All the plays have open auditions. Arsenic and Old Lace is a published play, and I'm having open auditions for that. Anyone can audition. You could audition. So I need a dead body. So if you want to play a dead body,
it's funny you say that. I did have a little something prepared. If you don't mind, I wouldn't mind doing this.
Go for it.
Conrad, where are my sides? Okay. So, well, that's exciting. So you got great stuff coming up. Anything we can look forward to, Steve, as the holidays get closer? Are you guys very active with Christmas or holiday mm-hmm. plays?
Well, a couple things. We're not going to have a movie series in December, only because the theater is already booked up with play stuff.
Okay.
So there are two things of note. First of all, Mercury Players every year does an original production called a panto. And a panto is a style of British theater that Mercury has kind of made an American version of a panto, where you take an existing story and then you kind of do a parody of it. So in the past, they've done pantos. Full disclosure, I've done four of them. So I've done two based on Star Wars, one on the original trilogy, one on The Mandalorian. We did one on The Wizard of Oz that I directed. Last year, I wrote one that was a mashup of Charlie Brown and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. They did a Harry Potter panto. They did a Snow White and the superhero panto. This year, it's Scooby-Doo and a panto, too. So this is an original play that has been written, and then they just had auditions for that last week, and I know the cast, but I don't think that's been officially announced yet.
Okay.
But then the cast will work to make the script even better.
Right.
You know, that's the process. And then this show will go up in December for 3 weeks, and it's family friendly, but pantos are also written with kind of a nod, wink, wink, to the adult audience. So you'll get some jokes that'll go over the head. So that's a big chunk of December. And then, of course, New Year's Eve, we're doing The Blitz again.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a show, you know, ready or not, the show starts at 8 o'clock on New Year's Eve. And that's fun. It gets out 10, 10:30 or so, depending, you know, you don't know how long the show is going to be because it doesn't exist yet.
Right.
And it's a great way to start out New Year's Eve. You go, we have some drinks at the theater, and then you can either go home, you know, or you can go out to the next stop and ring in midnight. I probably will go home. But last year was fun. I wrote last year. So I was at the theater the night before, and we get a concept, and then we get our actors. They literally choose names out of a hat, and you're randomly assigned a director and then actors. And I didn't know if I was going to have three actors, five actors, no idea until then. And then they all went home and went to bed. And then the writers, we all were left in the theater, and we had to write until the sun came up. We had to turn in a play by 6 a.m.
And then have that day to rehearse it until the night.
Yep, and then and the next morning, the directors come in, they get an hour with the script to figure out what they're going to do. And then the actors come in, and then, you know, we have a costume people and sound effects people that all mix and mingle all day long, and they rehearse. And then that night, 8 p.m., ready or not, here we go.
That sounds like an absolute blast.
It's a good time. Don't bring the kids. I will say, don't bring the kids.
I think if you're going out on New Year's Eve at 8 o'clock, you probably leave the kids home anyway, maybe.
You never know the content of the play. That's the thing, though. It's like, and the one I did was definitely not for the kids. I thought it was going to be sexy, and I had a great group of actors, and they took it to the next level.
The au natural level, Steve? Is that where you're going?
Not that natural. No, not that natural. So.
Steve, this has been fun. I hope we get to do this again. I have one more question for you. When you're done at the theater, you go home and you need to kick your feet up and relax. What are you watching on TV? Anything you could recommend?
I'm really pathetic, so I watch PBS. So I come home, you know, I might have, you know, a small wee glass of whiskey. But no, honestly, I like YouTube documentaries. I'm really weird.
Oh, nice.
Nothing relaxes me than watching a 10-minute video on how the Earth formed 4 billion years ago.
Boy, that's, you know what? I know you're making jokes, but that is great escapism.
I love that. I have to admit that. Yeah. That's how I relax, is watching, there's a show on one of the channels called How It's Made. It's about how products are made. And now they have these little segments on YouTube, and it'll be like, how do they make candy canes? How do they make coffee machines or something. And I just find the whole process very relaxing just to learn that.
I think you should take those concepts, move them to the stage, and figure out a way to make it interesting through your actors.
Well, when they do the blitz, you have it. Okay. Everyone brings in a bunch of props. So you get a prop, you get a line of dialogue, and then you get you got to take that and then work with it and come up with a play.
That's so great.
Yeah, it's a fun process. I don't know if I'm going to be involved with it this year. They haven't asked me. So Simone, if you're listening, hint, hint, hint.
Come on, Simone. That's so great. Steve, this has been fun. Check out the Bartell Theater in Madison, folks, if you're in the area. And even if you're not, if you road trip to Madison, there's a lot of cool stuff going on there. Starting with
and
this
And we want
month.
To know movie suggestions. Give us movie suggestions.
Aside from Hot Rod, I'll put a list together and we'll throw them your way. But it sounds like you're on the right track here.
It's going to be end of January, early February. So that weekend, we've got the movie screen back.
That's
so
great.
So we're looking for stuff for January, February.
Check out Hocus Pocus and Psycho on the 26th of this month and The Big Lebowski on the 25th at the Bartell Theater in Madison. Steve Noel, thanks so much tonight, buddy. It was great to meet you, and hope
great.
We can
Loved
do it again.
It was a great time.
All right.
Looking forward to having it again.
Have a great night. Okay, that's Steve Noel. Matt Miller is coming up next. He's going to tell us all about the Joker Foley Odu. Have you seen that yet, Conrad?
No, I'm not going to lie. I haven't seen the first one.
You know, I have to say I liked the first one. It was different and weird and cool, and I am going to see the second one, but I said that about Bad Boys in late May, and I still haven't seen that. But,
it's on Netflix now.
I know it is, for like $4. I'll pay $4. I wasn't going to pay $20. All right, so Matt is coming up. We'll talk about Joker Foley Odu. The 608 says, Strange Brew. That would be a fun one. Yes, and Jim from Appleton says, we get multi-packs and let the little goblins choose Reese's, Twizzler, Hershey Mix, Snickers, etc. Jim is the house. That's the house you want to go to for trick-or-treat. That's awesome to have a choice like that. All right, this is Peach Wabba and Nightlight. When we come back, we're talking movies with Matt Miller. It's the Civic Media Radio Network.
There's too many of you to cry. Brother, brother, brother.
Welcome back. I don't know. If I had to choose from Jim's assortment of candy, I might go Twizzlers to change it up.
Really?
Maybe.
I'm going Reese's.
Yeah. That's in your blood, though. That's in your DNA. all right. This is my pleasure, ladies and gentlemen, to bring back one of our frequent flyers. We always love talking to this guy about movies and TV and really whatever's on his mind. It's great to welcome back to Nightlight Milwaukee film and entertainment critic, Mr. Matt Miller. Matt, how are you?
I'm doing great. Though I will say, thrown off by Conrad, did you pronounce that Reese's?
Oh,
you
got to
pronounce it Reese's.
You don't have to pronounce it Reese's. You could pronounce it right and pronounce it Reese's.
I was just giving my wife a hard time because when we were planning a vacation, she always says vacation, vacation. I'm like, no, it's vacation.
Oh.
You don't have a staycation when you stay at home. It's a staycation. So
that was
one of the things.
That's my caramel caramel. I actually dated somebody once who said Reese's, but also said Reese's Pieces.
I say that too.
No, Conrad, no. Why would the pronunciation of Reese's change the pronunciation of Pieces?
I'm on Matt's side here, Conrad. Sorry.
I'll tell you this. My dad pronounces stuff wrong, like as a joke. So I started doing it myself.
He's doing that to play a practical joke.
Sincerely, you're devastating me here, Conrad.
Matt, how are you?
I'm doing really well. I literally just got back from New York City. A good friend of mine got married out there. It was beautiful.
Nice.
Got to see a Broadway show out there. Got to see some of the sights. But I'm very happy to also be back in the Midwest, back here in town.
You can't do worse, or you can't do better than Midwest in the fall, that's for sure. But glad you're back and glad you had a great trip. Hey, before we start with Folie à Deux, which I'm excited to talk to you about, I haven't seen it yet. And I have a friend, a good friend who I respect, who really liked it. So I'm going to be anxious to hear what you have to say. But have you seen the Brewers documentary, Just a Bit Outside?
I did. I had a really nice time with it. Obviously, okay. I'm a big Brewers fan, so yeah. I'm totally in the bag for that movie. I am totally, you know, I am somebody who walks in loving the Brewers. And so I really had a great time. I took my dad to go see it. And I do think it tells a really good story. I think they have some great interviews in there, some really charming interviews. And again, you know, if you're a Brewers fan, you kind of have to watch that. It is kind of just a big 2-hour shot of nostalgia. I mean, as someone who grew up going to Milwaukee County Stadium, seeing the old scoreboard again and seeing all that footage, it brings a lot back.
It's so great. And even though they, you know, it's so, and the city threw a parade for that team, even though they didn't win, which I think is really cool. And you had such characters on the team, like, you know, and then you got Bob Uecker. You kind of have to make a documentary about that team.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the great question of that team, as, you know, a Wisconsin sports fan, is, you know, that team always has had such a part of legacy, of sports legacy here in town. And then you're like, they didn't win. They lost the World Series. We are not, you know, we're not clinging to this one championship. We're clinging to this team that lost the World Series. Right. And so I think that's kind of interesting, the kind of question of like, why does Wisconsin still care? Why do Brewers fans still cling to this World Series losing team? And I think that documentary kind of gets at some of those answers really nicely about, you know, what was going on in Milwaukee at the time and kind of the hard fight for a Milwaukee baseball team. And then, you know, the kind of interesting group of people that you had on that team, those kind of characters that I don't know if you're going to see many modern teams ever like that ever again, where you're going to have that kind of, you know, everyday charm and personality on a team.
That's interesting. And I, you know, for me, I think Wisconsin is such a great, has such a great fan base in the terms, like, you really have to screw up to get Wisconsin fans to turn on you.
It's like, Jesse Winker. Ask Jesse Winker.
I mean, even like Aaron Rodgers, I'm like, this guy, you know, he's just, and he does it to himself, but yeah. I constantly go in my mind, like, do you realize if you get Wisconsin fans to turn on you, you've really screwed up? Like, at some point, they're going to invite him back to Lambeau like they do everybody, and it'll be interesting to see the reception. I'm sure it'll be friendly because people are cordial, but I don't know. That fascinates me.
Yeah, I think he, if we're going into that hypothetical, I think Rodgers would be welcomed back pretty warmly. He brought a Super Bowl to right. Title Town. He was the last, you know, Super Bowl winning quarterback. And I think there will always, I mean, if we were able to forgive Favre before him, and we're very forgiving, give us some distance. Right. And I think some of it might depend on what happens in New York. You know, if he wins a Super Bowl in New York and we have to see him hoist a Lombardi trophy in a weird, you know, different shade of green, then maybe the welcome back is a little more hostile. We'll see.
He'll do it while he's taking that drug and smoking weed and wearing a poster for, I don't know, whatever, but I'm sure he'll think of some way to make it memorable. Matt, okay, so you saw the Joker sequel.
Yeah.
Lay it on me. What did you think?
I did not enjoy it. I joined what seems like most of America and not particularly enjoying it. The movie was primed, I think, originally to have like a $60 to $80 million opening weekend. Word got out early that people were not enjoying it. And now it had a record drop from its first weekend to its second week. I think it was 81% of its box office.
It's nuts.
Which is insane, especially for a comic book movie. I mean, and I know this is a kind of unconventional comic book movie, but still, this is a notable brand. And I think a lot of that is because it is an actively hostile, unfun movie to watch. Wow. It is a really boring movie. And I think it's trying to do something interesting. It is trying to be a movie about the expectations of being a Joker sequel. And it's trying to kind of dive a little bit more into the mental health stuff that it kind of tripped and clumsily handled in the first movie, I felt. But it goes about it so boringly and so disinterestingly in a way that you're just talking about what happened in the first Joker movie for like 2 hours again. And,
oh, wow.
You know, it's just not that interesting. I think Lady Gaga doesn't really get much to do in that movie. And I think, first of all, a lot of people didn't know it was a musical. A lot of people didn't know it was, you know, going to, and that is something audiences really hate, being tricked into seeing musicals. But it's also a really crummy musical where it's a lot of talk singing and it's a lot of, like, there's no choreography. There's no, you see the trailers and you see these intricate sets and these beautiful kind of set pieces. And I didn't love Todd Phillips's Joker, but that movie is really well crafted. That movie really gorgeously creates a scummy 70s New York City. I think that movie is really...
Let's pick it up right there. Matt Miller is here. We're talking Joker. I have questions too. We'll do that all after Civic Media's award-winning news. We're talking to Matt Miller about movies. Can a Monday night get better? This is Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us. You're just a little in love. Oh, yeah, a little in love. You
are a little in love with someone you just like. I remember that song. Once in a while, you think of a song you haven't heard, and you're like, oh, yeah. And it was Cliff Richard's birthday today, and I'd totally forgotten that he was kind of a big deal in the early 80s. But that's a great tune. So happy birthday, Cliff Richard. Bridget checks in from the 818 and says, chocolate, definitely. You have to give something good. So there's a trick-or-treat donator that's willing to go the extra mile. And I think a lot of people would agree with you, Bridget. All right, Matt Miller is with us. We were talking movies specifically about the Joker sequel, Folie à Deux, and Matt thought it was pretty boring. and a musical, which you're right, Matt. A lot of people forgot about that when they went to see it.
Yeah, I think it has some... There was potential for an interesting movie here. There was, and I do like the idea of a movie kind of thinking about what the audience is expecting from a Joker movie. But the way it's going about it in this movie is so disinteresting and so boring to just hear people relitigate what already happened in the last movie and to have these musical sequences that have no pizzazz to them, no excitement. It just really falls flat. And I think Todd Phillips, I think maybe the interesting part is the backstory of, I don't think Todd Phillips ever wanted to make a Joker movie. I think Todd Phillips, even back in 2018, he wanted to make a kind of Martin Scorsese kind of King of Comedy style movie. And studios nowadays are like, well, that's not a movie that's going to make us money. It barely made movie for Martin Scorsese, you know, 40 years ago. And then, you know, he was like, okay, let me make a Joker. Let me make the main character Joker. And then can I make my Martin Scorsese homage? And obviously that made a ton of money.
Very interesting.
And now he's making the sequel that feels like it's like, yeah, I had to make a Joker movie to make this. And now people want more Joker, but do we want to do that? All of that's interesting. The movie is not interesting. All of that is fascinating. The movie itself is a really tedious watch. And, you know, it got a D cinema score, and you have to really be bad to get into that D and F range. You have to really screw with the audience. Maybe not even bad, but you have to really screw with the audience's expectations to get a low score like that. And Joker 2 definitely does that.
It got,
in not an interesting way.
Yeah, it got a 33%, initially at least, I haven't checked in a while, but from a 33% on Rotten Tomatoes from critics and audience. Like, those scores equaled each other, which is crazy. And how do you make, and I haven't seen it yet, maybe I'd go and love it, I don't know, but how do you make a musical, how do you make a sequel a musical when the first one wasn't? That seems like almost like a dupe, so to speak.
Yeah, and you know, I went into it after the opening kind of weekend buzz when people were coming out and being like, boy, like being really hostile towards this movie. And I kind of went in with this hope of like, you know what, I'm going to be the guy who comes out of this loving it. Like, I want to be the person yeah. who's like, you know, I think everyone's maybe being a little bit extra about this, and I want to see what's interesting here. And it starts with this animated sequence that was really unexpected and cool and interesting. And I was like, maybe this movie's secretly awesome. You know, maybe this is like a mother situation where the audiences just didn't get it. And then the movie kept going and it's just so dreary and disinteresting. And, you know, again, Lady Gaga's take on Harley Quinn, it has no character to it. There's no inner life to it. There's no reason. It's the least interesting Harley Quinn that's ever been on screen. Oh, and that's wow. Lady Gaga, wow. who's one of the more interesting actresses we have out there, who will go whole hog into yeah. you know, a performance and into a character. And there's just not really that much there for her to do. It's a bummer, and it's a big bummer because there's not a bunch of movies coming out October. This was kind of going to be the big October release for a few weekends. And it's a stinker. It's a big stinker. It's not good. And audiences are fleeing from it now.
You could check out his Substack at A Man About Film. Matt Miller does great work there. Matt, what do you have scary movies every year that you fire up when it gets close to Halloween? Do you have favorites you watch over and over, or any you could recommend?
I mean, I always love The Shining. The Shining is, I think, the best scary movie of all time. It's incredible. And it's kind of perfect around this time of year where it's starting to get colder and The Shining is like the coldest movie ever made. Right. So I love The Shining. I think that's a terrific movie. I'm always trying to find new horror movies generally. Like, you know, I'm very much on the hunt for kind of stuff I may not have seen. Some classics, like I know... speaking of cold movies, The Thing is terrific. John Carpenter's The Thing is outstanding. And I know the Time Cinema is doing a double feature with The Thing and the Fog, which I have not seen the original The Fog. I know some people love it. Some people are kind of like, and I just kind of want to like check that box and see what Carpenter was up to there on that one. There's just so much interesting horror out there. And you know, from the big stuff to kind of independent stuff, that I'm always on the hunt for kind of new, interesting things.
I may have asked you this on one of your previous appearances, but did you see Barbarian?
I did.
Yeah.
What a wild movie.
I liked it. Listen, I'm not typically a horror guy. I've tried to watch more of it since I've been hosting this show, but it's not something I gravitate toward. But I, for some reason, I rented that movie in the middle of summer and really liked it. And I liked how it got going, and then all of a sudden we're in LA and we meet Justin Long's character, and I'm like, what the heck? And then he ends up back by the house. But that, I thought that was a pretty well done movie for a guy who's not an expert on horror films.
It's one of the more off-kilter mainstream horror movies that's come out, just in like the kind of weird halting rhythms of it, where you know, it starts off as this is the kind of horror movie I think this is. And then it hard cuts to become a completely different type of horror movie. And then 30 minutes in there, hard cuts to a different type of horror movie. And what's really interesting is that director, I believe he was in the comedy troupe Whitest Kids You Know. That is another kind of Jordan Peele situation where it's this comedian who has moved to horror and has very successfully pivoted to horror. And I know I think he has another one, his follow-up coming next year. And I'll be very interested to see if he can kind of build off of Barbarian. I think Jordan Peele has done a really good job of building off of Get Out and constantly kind of making more and more interesting and complex and really, really kind of naughty sci-fi horror concepts. And I'm hoping, I believe his name is Zach Cregger. I really hope that he kind of keeps developing too as this kind of horror voice who's kind of coming up with these new stories. Because horror, it's one of the few places that Hollywood's willing to take story risks right now. It's one of the few places where an original story is something audiences and studios are excited to get behind. In most cases, dramas, you know, any other genre, Hollywood and audiences feel really reluctant to kind of give original things a chance. Whereas the horror right now, Long Legs and, you know, the Jordan Peele original movies and, you know, the A24 brand of horror movies, people are excited about original horror movies. I think that's why the genre is so exciting right now.
And Terrifier or Terrified 3 opened up and cleaned up at the box office this week. And I haven't seen any of them, but my guess is...
Are you a fan of gore?
Not necessarily gore. I don't mind being freaked out or jumping. I jumped Quiet Place, the end of that, the most recent Quiet Place.
Yeah.
When the guy's running off the pier and that thing, I literally was on the edge of my seat and went, ah! I like that kind of stuff, but I can tolerate gore, but it's not something I seek out.
I'm going to tell you that you don't need to see the Terrifier movies then.
I heard it was pretty
good. I call them meat grinders. They're explicitly there for horrifying gore. And I'm not a really big fan of those movies. They've kind of become this sensation where they started as really cheap indie movies. The second movie kind of came out, I believe, last year or 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Became a little hit. And then the third one now has exploded into a genuine hit, made $18 million this last weekend. But they're so graphic. They are literal overkill, where it is just murdering a person over and over and over and over again in the most vile ways you can imagine. If you are not a fan of gore, this is not the horror movie series for you. Go see something else.
I'll probably take a powder on that one. Matt Miller is my guest. Check out his work at his Substack. He's a Milwaukee film and entertainment critic. It's at A Man About Film. Matt, any Oscar buzz that you can share with us or anything you've heard?
It's been a really weird season. There hasn't been an obvious front runner out there. There's no real obvious ones on the way to come. There's a movie from Netflix called Amelia Perez that's kind of a musical, kind of all. I believe it's Selena Gomez, Zoe Saldana. It's gotten really good reviews on the festival circuit. And it seems like the kind of movie that, you know, Oscars are kind of going for now, these kind of genre bending, you know, everything everywhere all at once.
Right.
The Oscars are kind of going towards those kind of films. But I'll be interested because it's a Netflix movie, which means most people aren't going to get to see it on a big screen, you know, in the way it's designed to be seen. So will that hurt it? And Netflix oftentimes has too many movies to promote come Oscar season. You know, that is their big issue, is they just dump a bunch of movies all at the same time. And then, you know, they kind of don't know which horses to put their money behind. So they kind of don't put their money behind any horses. It's very complicated. So we'll see if Netflix can get that one to the promised land. They've still never won Best Picture, even though they've desperately wanted to get it.
Right.
They've been beat to the first streamer to win Best Picture title. Apple won that with Coda. So I'll be interested to see if, you know, Amelia Perez, I think that one could maybe be the horse that gets there. I know Conclave looks really good as well. That may be Ralph Fiennes' Oscar, finally. He's been putting great work in for years. That is the Pope election drama that I believe comes out here. I believe that comes out here in Wisconsin in about a week or two.
Okay.
That could be really good. I've heard good things. And obviously that director, he did All Quiet on the Western Front 2 years ago, and that was kind of a surprise Oscar kind of front runner, the contender. So he seems to have tapped into a kind of drama kind of mode that is really speaking to voters right now. And if that movie does well, if that's a success, the Oscars want to, they want to shine a light on stuff that they think is the best of their industry. And so if an original adult drama does well in theaters, that's the kind of thing that they want to hang their hat on. That's the kind of thing that they want to. That's part of the reason why Oppenheimer won last year, was because Oppenheimer was the kind of thing they say doesn't get made anymore. And they were like, no, you don't understand. This is great. And it was successful. Thumbs up. Let's give it Oscars. Maybe Conclave can be that this year.
Very interesting. One more question for you, Matt. We got a couple minutes left. I saw in your Substack, I just kind of glanced at it, Megalopolis. Is it as bad as people say? What can we take away from that? Can you recommend it or not?
I'm glad it exists. That's my stance on Megalopolis. You know, if you're an 86-year-old film legend and you have $120 million to burn and you have this passion project that you've never been able to get, you know, get to the screen and that no studio would ever greenlight in these modern times, you know, good on you. I think it's a mess. I think it looks pretty amateurish in some cases. I think it's very, very messy and oftentimes not in a very interesting way, oftentimes in a really boring way. But I'm glad it exists. I'm glad someone, you know, I'm glad he got his dream project out there. I wish it was a dream project on the level of Scorsese's Killers of the Flower Moon and Silence.
Right.
Where it was like, those were Scorsese projects he's wanted to do for a long time, and he finally got to do them, and they were incredible. You know, this isn't that. This is the opposite, but I'm glad Francis Ford Coppola got to make his movie. I'm not sure if I'm glad that I spent 2.5 hours watching it.
He had $100 million burning a hole in his pocket for 40 years, apparently. He recently said his favorite movie was Rumblefish that he did, which I gave a rewatch, and I'm like, okay, it's interesting
he's a
looking.
Weird guy.
Yeah.
Francis Ford Coppola is a weird cat. I mean, he made Jack. We all forget that he made the movie Jack.
He chose
at the height of his powers, he was like, you know what I need to do is I need to make Jack. So a weird guy, a weird movie. I'm glad it exists.
Legacy intact, though, I suppose, at the end of the day. Matt, so much fun. Thanks so much, buddy. And keep up the great work.
Hey, thanks for having me, Pete. This was a hoot.
You got it. All right. That's Matt Miller. Check out his work at Matt. Sorry, not at Matt Miller. At a man about film. Great stuff. And he will keep you informed. Well, Conrad, it's time to get out of here, right?
No.
Oh, we got a whole other segment?
Yes.
Oh, what am I thinking? All right, we'll do that next, and we'll close this thing down with some Simpsons fun in honor of the anniversary of baby Jessica falling down the well. That's coming up next on Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Waking up in Vegas. Why are these lights so bright? All right, so this is the anniversary. Todd Michaels sent out his sheet today, and it just, I don't know where he gets this stuff, but it's just great little facts about our history. Like today was Martin Luther King Jr. was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize for his nonviolent resistance to racial prejudice. The youngest person ever to receive that award. I did not know that. So all this stuff is fun. He also sent out one today about this is the anniversary of baby Jessica falling down the well in like 1992 or something like that. This 18-month-old fell down a well. I don't know how she survived, but she was down there for like a couple days or a day and a half or something like that. And the Simpsons, like only the Simpsons can do, parodied the whole event, and we've got a clip of that. This is the Simpsons reaction to, and what happens in the episode is Bart gets a Mr. Microphone for his birthday from Homer, and he decides to play a joke on the whole town. So he puts the Mr. Microphone speaker down in the well, and then he talks to the microphone from his bedroom and acts like he's trapped in a well. And this is part one of our little Simpsons celebration of that event.
Huh? Hey, what's up? Some poor kid fell down a well.
Yes. My name is Timmy O'Toole. I just turned 10 years old.
Timmy, where are your parents?
I have no family. I tried to enroll in school, but your Principal Skinner turned me away because of my shabby clothes.
He's a liar.
The circumference of the well is 34 inches. So, unfortunately, not one member of our city's police force is slender enough to rescue the boy.
By God, man, you're a bunch of marshmallows.
Why don't you go, Chief?
Well, I'm too important.
Although the well is too dark to see the boy, Timmy has told us his foot is trapped under a rock. Thus, any attempt to pull him up would snap him like a twig. In desperation, the city is considering more unorthodox solutions.
Grasping the child firmly in his talons, Socrates here will fly him to safety. Just watch. I don't think he's coming back.
With this hook and this hunk of chocolate, I'll land your boy, and I'll clean him for free.
Although we can't reach the boy, we can freeze him with liquid nitrogen so that future generations can rescue him.
Dear Lord, before we peel the foil back from your bounty, we ask you to watch over little Timmy O'Toole trapped in that well. Bart, what's wrong with you?
Yeah, that Timmy is a real hero.
How do you mean, Dad?
Well, he fell down a well and can't get out.
How does that make him a hero?
Well, it's more than you did.
My favorite moments of The Simpsons are when Lisa is smarter than her dad. It's just so great. And I've got, it was actually 1987 this happened, and her name was Jessica McClure, 18 months old, fell down an abandoned well in Texas, and the rescue took 58 hours. Here is part two of that clip.
And finally, Channel 6's own Krusty the Clown has gathered members of the entertainment community, who normally steer clear of fashionable causes, for a video called We're Sending Our Love Down the Well.
I wanted to do something to help that boy, so I called my good friend Sting. He said, Krusty, when do you need me? I said, Thursday. He said, I'm busy Thursday. I said, what about Friday? He said, Friday's worse than Thursday. Then he said, how about Saturday? I said, fine. True story.
Yeah, I used to open for Krusty in 69. In fact, he fired me, as I recall.
Sting.
But this isn't about show business. This is about some kid down a hole or something, and we've all got to do what we can.
There's a hole in my heart, as deep as a well, for that poor little boy who's stuck halfway to hell.
Though we can't get him out, we'll do the next best thing.
We'll go on TV and sing, sing, sing.
And we're sending our love.
Krusty, what are your plans for the royalties?
Well, we gotta pay for promotion, shipping, distribution. You know, those limos out back, they aren't free. Whatever's left, we throw down the well.
So great. The very underrated Sideshow Mel singing in that We Are the World parody is great. And then, of course, you had McBain, or the Arnold Schwarzenegger character, and Krusty singing horribly. It's so great. Love The Simpsons. Tomorrow night on Nightlight, Door County trolley operator Carl Sarecki. He'll be here. Have you done a Door County ghost tour, Conrad?
I can't say I've done any ghost tour.
Well, it's the first time for everything. Carl will be here. He does these ghost Door County trolley tours that sound great. And then it's going to be kind of a scary show tomorrow because Todd Michaels will be here at 7:20. He is our favorite paranormal investigator to talk to. And he was here just only about 3 weeks ago, but I had several things I wanted to ask him but did not get to because Todd is such a fun guest. He's going to be on again tomorrow night. So that's tomorrow night on Nightlight. And fun guest this week. And what else? What do we... Did you learn anything tonight? What are you going to watch? What have you heard or a song that you go, I'm not going to watch
The Joker.
Oof, I know. I'll probably see it at some point, but I've just not heard good stuff, man. So anyway, all right, we will be back tomorrow night, ladies and gentlemen, to do this all over again. For tonight was a Monday night edition of Nightlight. That makes tomorrow a Tuesday night edition. Tuesday has a feel here at Nightlight, and it feels like Tuesday. So we'll do that. And have a great night. Conrad, great job tonight, buddy.
Yeah, you too.
Thank you. On behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad, I'm Pete Schwabba. This has been Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Good night, Wisconsin.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.